2 days, gained 4 pounds. The barista left Starbucks, and I never saw him again. "You're very fat," he said. I didn't know where to put myself. Having worked hard all day at Caprioni's Cafe, serving up delicious ice creams with orgasmic toppings to happy customers, one of my final requests of the day was from a cute little boy with green eyes and a lisp. He can't have been more than 5 years old, and as he licked his lips and lisped his way through an order of strawberry ice cream with raspberry sauce, he decided to supersize his order with an unsolicited comment regarding my size. "You're very fat." Not just fat, but very fat, with the emphasis on very. He was a little boy. He wasn't passing a judgment or being mean. He was merely making an accurate observation about the lady behind the counter. It was just unfortunate that lady happened to be me, and the words had continued on a loop in my head ever since. It had taken me by surprise, and I was hoping I may have misheard, though there was nothing I could come up with that might have been mistaken for fat. I tried, oh God, I tried, desperately convincing myself he may have just said, "You're very fat," or "very hat." But I was kidding myself. I just wished he hadn't said it so audibly, and the cafe hadn't been so quiet at the particular bloody millisecond he said the F word. In fact, for me, it would have been less of an issue if he'd said the other F word. This wasn't the first time someone had felt the urge to share with me my body image, like I didn't know I was at least 2 stone overweight. I'd spent many years of my childhood hearing the cruel remarks regarding what I optimistically referred to as my curves. But when you're an adult, people usually keep their comments about other people's weight to themselves. Colleagues might have whispered behind my back and discussed the state of my increasing arse as it left the room, but never in front of me. And shop assistants might have given me pitying but knowing looks outside the changing rooms as I handed back the small tent I couldn't squeeze into, muttering something about the wrong colour. But on the whole, being an adult is easier because people have, in theory, learned to keep their comments to themselves. But kids are different, and this one was keen to make his feelings known. I attempted to style it out, smile and ignore what he'd said. If by any chance someone within a 5-mile radius hadn't heard his loud remark, then perhaps we could just move past it. But no, his mother had other ideas. "You can't say that to people," she started, looking at me with guilt, embarrassment, and the inevitable pity. "Say you're sorry, Josh," she continued, while I feigned an indulgent smile and wafted my hand in the air like it didn't matter, and there was no need for an apology or a bloody inquisition that now seemed to be drawing everyone's attention. I wanted to forget about it, but she was making quite the spectacle, and people were muttering, their glances drifting across my body as my face flooded scarlet. Then everything escalated even more as she raised her voice, repeated that he mustn't say things like that, thus alerting anyone in the vicinity who may not have already heard how fat I was to prick up their ears. "Say you're sorry," she yelled as his chin puckered and he burst into tears. I didn't know where to look or what to do. It now seemed that whatever was going on between the very fat lady and the little boy had caused him to cry, and not only was I corpulent, I was cruel too. "Please, it's fine," I said, aggressively squishing strawberry ice cream onto a cone and attacking it viciously with raspberry sauce. Needless to say, it wasn't fine, and by the time I handed him the cone, the little boy was in a full-on tantrum and pushed it sharply away so that it hit the counter and landed on the floor. This sent him into paroxysms of ice cream grief, and I now looked like the fat and cruel lady who made him drop his ice cream.
"What's going on?"
Marco, my miserable colleague, said with a frown.
"You causing problems, Danny."
He wasn't joking. Marco was permanently miserable, pretty monosyllabic, and never joked. I'm not causing anything," I said, close to tears and wishing I'd pushed the bloody cone in his face. Everyone was looking. The child was sobbing, and the remains of strawberry and raspberry were now sliding down the side of the counter and puddling in a bright pink heap on the floor.
"That'll need cleaning," Marco observed.
"Thank you for pointing that out." I rolled my eyes, now brimming with tears. When he wasn't being rude, he had a talent for stating the obvious.